Welcome to Promised Land at Home podcast, where we bring people into an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ and each other. Wherever life has you, we pray that today's sermon both challenges and encourages you. We're so glad you're listening today and hope you enjoy the message.
If you have a Bible, turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. We've been in the Gospel of John now for about 5 months, and we have a long way to go. And we're kind of in a little mini-series within the series right now in chapter 6, where Jesus had just performed this amazing miracle of turning 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish into a feast for over 5,000 people. And as I begin to prepare this week to teach today about the bread of life, Jesus, it's interesting how your life just kind of, you know, when you're about to speak, God just puts you in situations that, immerse you into the concepts and the ideas of what the message is about. And I had a procedure done on Friday, and it required me to fast on Thursday all day. And so I was hungry all day, you know, and not only fast, but I had to purge myself of all of the impurities. I'm not going to share those details with you, but it was a traumatic experience. And all clear, all good. But it was a journey of hunger and emptiness and the need for eating some bread. I got some bread here today. Anybody hungry right now? There's nothing like the smell of fresh bread. Last Sunday after church, Eric and I were hungry, so we went to Garcia's. And speaking of Mexican food, got tortilla soup and saw several families from church there. Always loved that. Always loved checking in with people at the restaurant, saying hi and all that. But there was this table beside us that was kind of sad. And it was 4 women sitting there, and we didn't talk to them or anything, but we were just observing sort of their meal as Eric and I and Kennedy were eating. And it looked like 3 generations, a grandmother, her daughter, and then 2 others. I don't know if they were related, but that's kind of what it looked like. And the 3 younger women were on their phone the entire meal. And not just like checking a text and talking, but literally they had their phones set up on the table with headphones on, watching and interacting in their own phone the entire meal. And the grandma was just sitting there by herself with no phone. And I was like, man, we should invite her over to our table, you know? We didn't, but I thought about it. Should have. And it just was sad, you know, that the experience of the meal was not something that was shared, but it was individual, and there was not any sort of interaction. And before I get too critical of them, I am guilty of being on my phone too much many, many times, and I am taking active steps in not being on my phone too much, and I would love for anyone in here to join me on that journey. It's a journey, right? Because we have to have our phone. We use our phone for business and talking to people and texting and all that. We got to do all that stuff, but we're consuming so much content that's not the bread of life. And we're substituting the bread of heaven, the bread of life, for something that is very temporary, temporal. And we're constantly needing more of it. Have you ever noticed how when something is giving you pleasure in life and you indulge in it, and I'm not talking about sinful things, I'm talking about anything, you know, anything that gives you pleasure in life, you indulge in a little bit, gives you relief, the next time you need a little bit more of it. That's just the nature of temporary earthly things. They can never truly fulfill you ever. And so we constantly need more of it. That's why we are constantly going back to our phones and devices and relationships. Or maybe it's not that. Maybe it's work. Maybe it's like just diving into work so much, and you get a lot of positive things out of work, and so you just keep diving back into that, consuming that. Last night, Erica and I went to San Antonio. Some friends of ours invited us down there and offered us a night in a hotel, very nice place, and dinner. And at first I was like, man, I got to preach on Sunday morning, so don't know that we can do this. And then Erica's like, well, I don't have to preach. And so I said, I'll just drive back early and you can stay. She's sleeping in right now in San Antonio. So that's how much I love you. Just want to let you know that. I'm back. Anyway, last night we had this experience at a very nice restaurant that was completely opposite of what we had at Garcia's. And, you know, we had been to this restaurant before several years back. And now our friends were coming with us. And these are friends I've known for many years. The guy is a guy I've knew since junior high. And so just really close. And we're sitting there eating, and Erica, as the meal starts going, we're at this restaurant for over 2 hours. It's a very nice restaurant, very, you know, different courses and all this different thing. And Erica said, when they bring the bread out, it's just amazing. The bread here is outstanding. So they, after a little bit, they bring everybody out a little dish with a little roll, dinner roll, and it doesn't look real amazing. And in fact, you're just like, is this really that good? They also brought out butter that was made there and had been smoked and had like sea salt and just amazing. It's real soft. The bread, you would break it and it was kind of crispy on the outside, but then the inside was just melt in your mouth, tender, fresh bread. Anybody want a piece right now? And so my wife, since we had gone the last time, has now eating gluten-free, and, you know, gluten affects her system, and so she tries to avoid it. Last night, she was like, I think I might just take the consequences of eating this bread. It's so good. And so they start, you know, they put it on our table, and then I started eating it, and I was like, I eat all the gluten I can find. I don't care, you know? So I'm, like, rubbing that butter all over it, you know, just got like butter my beard. And Tina, my friend's wife, starts eating it, and then she just bows her head like this, and I've never seen this in my life. My friend Jeff goes, oh, okay, she cries every time she eats something amazing. True story. She picks her head up and she has tears coming down her cheeks. She said, this bread is so good. I was like, I'm using this story tomorrow in this sermon. I'm just telling you right now, you're going to be in the sermon tomorrow. Because it really, those two dinner or, you know, meal episodes really shows us the difference. And what Jesus is teaching us here today in John 6, there's two different types of meals. There's two different types of consumption. You can either be all on your phone and just shoving things in your mouth and disconnected from everybody else and only about getting fed, or you can sit there for 2 hours and cry over the deliciousness of this bread. That's what Jesus is showing us, and we've talked about this quite a bit the last few weeks. It's kind of been like a little mini-series in John, where the crowd is constantly wanting Jesus to do something, and Jesus is constantly avoiding that. I'm not going to be pulled in to be made king. We talked about this last week. Jesus knows that the crowd is just wanting him because he can give them something that they want, right? Bread. And so the story we're reading today is the day after that big feast. Jesus and his disciples have made their way across the Sea of Galilee. We talked about that last week, miracle of walking on water. This is the next day in Capernaum, and some people have realized that Jesus is no longer where the miracle happened, and so they've gotten in boats, and now they've gone to Capernaum to find Jesus. And that's the scene that we have before us. There's Jesus there with his disciples and all these people. By the way, if you have not picked up one of these scripture journals of the Gospel of John. I encourage you to get one today in the foyer. They're available for $5, but you can read on one side and journal on this side. It's really a great way to consume the bread of life. So I want to start reading in John chapter 6, around verse 25. Some of these scriptures will be on the screen. Some probably won't, but that's just how we roll around here. So they found him on the other side of the sea, and they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Verse 26, Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you're seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of loaves." What he's saying is you're just living this type of life that's all about you. You just want to eat. You just want me because of what I can give you. In the Bible, as we read through this, we see different words used in Greek for the word life. One is bios, which we've all heard that before, biology. It comes from this word, this Greek word of bios. It means life. It means temporal life. It means temporary. It just means existing. It means eating and then having another meal, and it's just existing life. There's another word in the Bible, zoe, Z-O-E, and that is the abundant life. When Jesus said, "The devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have zoe, the abundant life." That's something that's different. That's beyond bios. And what Jesus is saying to them is, you're just here because you want me to help increase your bios. You're not really here for the Zoe life that I really want to give to you. Are y'all with me so far? All right, here we go. Verse 27, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "Well, what must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, verse 29, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." Jesus, he's talking about himself. Believe in him, Jesus, the one who God has sent. That's what he's saying in verse 29. So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" And Jesus is like, "Oh my gosh, I just turned 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish into a buffet for 5,000 people. And here you are wanting another sign. You're the same. You came here because you saw that." And he's just like, "Oh my gosh." Right? But before we get too critical of the 5,000, you and I are the same way. We all can be in that same mindset. What have you done for me lately? Here's the thing I need over here. Here's the thing I want. Well, Jesus is like, "I'm the bread of life. Consume me. And you don't need all these other things that you keep thinking that you need." And then they bring up something in verse 31, "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Thinking like Moses gave them bread. So when the Israelites were in the desert, manna fell down from heaven. And it was a daily allotment of manna. It was literally a daily bread that they were given. In fact, God says to them, "Do not save this bread. Don't try to save it for tomorrow because it's going to spoil. Worms are going to crawl out of it. Disease will be in this bread. So you eat today's bread and then you get rid of it. And then tomorrow you're going to get another allotment." This is the essence of the bios life, the essence of the daily life. God provides for them, and they are saying, basically, this is what we're wanting from you. This is what we're needing from you. We need you to do something for us today, and then tomorrow we need you to do something for us again. Like, we need you to do stuff for us. That's what they're saying. And Jesus is like, "Well, thank you for bringing that up." Jesus said to them, verse 32, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives Zoe to the world," gives life, abundant life to the world. Verse 34, they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always. And Jesus says to them, I am the bread of life. This is an I am statement. I want you to start when you read the scriptures and you see Jesus saying, I am. I want you to always correlate that with him saying something more than just what you see on the paper. He's saying, I am God. I am God. I am divine. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. Let's go down to 47. We're not going to be able to read all these verses today. I want to encourage you to read them for yourself. Dive into the Word of God. Consume this week. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. He's saying that's temporary, that's temporal, that's bios. That's manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that has come down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live, Zoe, forever. Now, he doesn't say you're going to live in bios forever. So, sort of the complicated thing about this is that we have to live in both. We have to live in the bios. We have to live, and we do have to physically eat. We do have to go to work. We do have to engage with the temporal things of this world. We do. We just have to do that because we live here. But when God starts to talk about eternal life, he's not saying that you're going to live in a perpetual state of what you're in right now. Because for many people, that would be hell, right? I mean, I don't want to get stuck in this brokenness forever. Because, you know, it's kind of hard to understand and fathom what eternity's really like. The thought of living forever and ever and ever and just like existing forever and ever and ever. And the reason we struggle with that concept is because we're thinking about being in bios forever and ever and ever and ever. That's not what God is saying. He's saying, I want you to be in Zoe forever and ever and ever and ever. I want you to be in abundance forever and ever and ever. Such a distinction. And as we're going through this text today, I really want you to do an examination of your own heart and your own life and your own mindset. Am I constantly pursuing the bios, or am I consuming the bread of Zoe, the bread of life? And when Jesus is saying that this concept, he's not saying that he is the roof of life or the chair of life or the blanket of life or the house of life or the vehicle, the chariot of life. We don't get in him and ride around. We don't step inside of him. What he's saying is, I am something that you consume. You eat me. You drink me. And that's literally what he says on the next page. The Jews were disputing among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. How bizarre is that, right? I mean, it's awkwardly bizarre. So much so that people would avoid that text. You know, like, what if there's visitors here? They're going to think we're cannibals. We're like, what? What? Why did we come today to hear this? This is weird. If you think it's weird, they thought it was weird too. Even in their own culture in that ancient time, they thought it was very strange as well. What? Of all the analogies you could use and all the different metaphors and symbolism that could be used here, why this? Jesus says, whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. Consuming Jesus. So we don't want to just be beside him. We don't want to just listen to him. We want to take the bread of life and consume the bread of life. And Jesus' body, the bread of life, was broken for us so that we could take from him and eat. So many of us come close to the bread of life, but we don't consume the bread of life. We just, that smells good. You know what that's like? Coming to church on Sunday and then leaving and never engaging the rest of the week with Jesus. That smells good. You know that Jesus is better than just smelling him. I remember the very first small group lesson that we ever had at Promised Land. Philip will remember this. He was here. It was a scripture out of Psalms. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see. So many of us are not consuming the bread of life. We're just, we come to, even coming to church and seeing lyrics up on the screen and watching Nate completely belt out these amazing lyrics and the music and it's good. And then setting it down, leaving. I want to encourage you to don't just show up and don't just smell the bread of life, but the digestive process. Never had anybody clap for me while I ate bread. I'm going to need some. Will you bring that bottle of water? This bread's not quite as good as the one last night. But the point is that Jesus gives us this analogy of eating. He's not telling us that we're cannibals. We're not literally eating the bread, the blood, and the flesh of Jesus. But he's giving us that presentation, that idea, because he does want us to smell it. Yeah, that's a big deal. But he wants us to chew it. The digestive process begins as you begin to chew in your mouth. I learned this. I remember this in biology. The saliva begins to break down the food. You know, you're chewing. You're breaking it down. You're swallowing it. The digestive process is beginning through all of that. And something happens as it goes down into your stomach, into your small intestines and large intestines, that the nutrients of that food begins to be broken down and goes into your bloodstream and begins to give you strength and energy. And the same concept happens in an engine. When we put gasoline into an engine and we turn it on, there's an ignition, there's an igniting of that gasoline. There's a combustion that happens. That's where the power comes from, is when the gas begins to be broken down into that engine. And that's where the power comes from. The same concept is when we're eating the bread of life. Jesus doesn't want us just to be around it. He wants it to be inside of us. Jesus, the principles of Jesus, the truth of Jesus, the bread of life is something that we are to consume, that it goes into our psychology, our mind. It goes into our emotions, our spirit, our physical body, our soul. Every aspect of us, Jesus wants to be in us so that he can begin to send his truth and nutrients to every aspect of our life. And so some people couldn't handle that, and they left. And I encourage you to read the last part of chapter 6, where some of the people who were following him were like, okay, we're out. This is weird. And then he asked his disciples, do you want to go away as well? And Simon Peter said to him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And that's really what the message I want to convey to you today is there people here that are tired of just living the cycle of bios? And why don't we put that up, the idea of bios up on the screen? I want y'all to see like Bios and Zoe side by side. And again, we have to live in both of these. We have to live our life. We have to live here and engage with people and coworkers and bosses and teachers and professors and all that. We have to do that. That's the bios. Bios is not sin. It is the way we live in a temporal perspective. Okay, it's living. It's living out life. That's represented in the manna from the Old Testament. That's the law. We have to eat food. We have to follow rules. Right? There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with bios. But what Jesus is trying to teach us is if bios is all there is, then you're missing out on Zoe. So there's work. We have to work. We have to achieve things. But it's cyclical. That's what I was saying earlier. It's always running out. We always got to keep it going. Zoe is different in that it is life. It is all caps, abundant life. Go ahead and put that up on the other side. Jesus brings us the new life. Adam and Eve were living Zoe in the Garden of Eden. That's what they were living. They were living abundant life in the Garden of Eden. And they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that was a sin because God had told them not to do that. And when that happened, they were put outside of the Garden of Eden and blocked away from the tree of life. They weren't allowed to eat of the tree of life because God did not want them locked in that perpetual state of sin and bios, honestly. But when Jesus comes, he brings grace and truth, and he's the bread of life. But Jesus is also the tree of life. And now we have access to Jesus, and we can have eternal Zoe because of the work of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. Jesus does the work for us, and the price is paid for us to be in relationship with God again, just like Adam and Eve, and we can return to that Zoe Garden of Eden experience because of Jesus, because of the bread of life. We can eat from the tree of life and the bread of life. These are all the different concepts that come from Scripture, and what we believe as Christians is that one day we're going to live in that eternal Zoe, the presence of the Lord in heaven, we call that, a new heaven, new earth. It's going to be a beautiful thing when you either pass away or God comes again. We're going to be ushered into that era of eternal Zoe. But here's the good news of Jesus. You don't have to wait until you die to start experience the Zoe life. The abundant life can come now, today. So here I want to leave you with three ways to consume the bread of life. And the first one is this. We have to savor the flavor. I want to encourage you to slow down in your Christian journey. Slow down in your discipleship path. And don't just try to check a box off. Oh, went to church. Oh, read the Bible. Oh, said a prayer today. Prayed for my meal. And I feel good about that. Check it, check it, check. If we're checking boxes, we're trying to apply spiritual things to a bios lifestyle. And that doesn't work. In order to live in the Zoe life, in the abundant life of Jesus, to consume the bread of life, we have to slow down and savor the flavor. Slow down. This year, I've been encouraging you guys to take 5 to 10 scriptures per day. Read it and say a prayer. Then read it again. Meditate on it. Lord, speak to me. This is the savoring the flavor. This is eating the bread of life. Go ahead and put up number 2. This is diving into the Bible, diving into prayer. As you're praying and you're reading the Bible, you're savoring what God is speaking to you. Speak to me, Lord. As I've read the scripture today, God may be speaking to you something different than what I'm even teaching about. That's awesome. God's speaking to you. Savor that. How do we do that? How does that digestion happen? Well, journal it. Challenge yourself. Write it down. Ask questions. Have people around you. There's so many times in Scripture talks about people breaking bread together. Acts 2:42 says that the people of God, the brand new church in the book of Acts, they gathered daily together in homes and broke bread, ate together, and discipled with one another. So they literally ate physical food, and they also broke the bread of life together. When we take communion, church here. We take it on First Wednesday and some Sundays. We're taking bread and we're taking a little cup of grape juice. We are eating of the bread and we're eating and drinking the drink as a symbol of God's body. But that's not the only time and way that we can consume God in our life. So I want to encourage you to savor the flavor. I want you to encourage you to dive in and slowly read, slowly pray. And there's a difference between saying a prayer and praying. I want to encourage you to go beyond just saying a prayer, and I want to encourage you to step into the world of praying, where you're honestly communicating to God, speak to me, teach me. And then when God does speak to you, Lord, I want that word not to just stay in my mouth or be vomited out of my stomach. I want it to stay, and I want it to infiltrate the bloodstream of my existence. I want the word of God to affect me. I want it to change me. I want it to give me nutrients to live on. I want it to bring me into a new level of living that's not just a bios existence, but a zoe existence. And then number three is really the essence of what I'm talking about here, is just walking it out. It's obeying what God is speaking to you. That's what he was saying. How do we obey? We trust in the one who was sent, and we walk it out. Walking it out is a process. It is a discipline. It takes work. It takes effort. It takes intentionality. And I want to encourage you to do that as God begins to speak to you and you begin to taste and see that the Lord is good. You begin to taste the beautiful bread of life and allow it to go further than just a temporal experience. Further than just a checking of the box. So why don't you stand with me right now? I want us to go to God in prayer right now. And I want us to just begin with heartfelt thanks. Would you join with me in a prayer of just gratitude right now? Come on, bow your head and close your eyes and just say, Jesus, I recognize you as the bread of life. Thank you for the work you've done for me. I honor and respect you, Jesus. I humble myself before you. I'm so thankful, God, that I have heard your good news, and I respond now with humility. Please forgive me for being so focused on myself. Lord, I humble myself before you. I want that abundant life. I don't want to be so focused on the screaming and the distractions and the clutter that's all around me right now. But Lord, oh God, I want to go beyond the temporal and the temporary. Lord, I want to go beyond the manna. I want to go beyond just the work and the achievement. Lord, I want to go to that bread of life, that bread of heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Show me, God. Teach me, Lord. My ears are open. My eyes are open. Speak to me from your word. Fill me with your spirit. I'm committed to you. Come on, let's make a confession of faith right now. Just say, Jesus, I'm committed to you. I'm committed to devouring your word. I'm committing to prayer. I'm committing to being around other people that are going to speak truth into my life. God, I'm going to make Sunday worship a priority for my family. I'm not just going to be accidentally connecting to God. Lord, I'm going to be intentional about connecting to God. I'm going to be all in, Lord. I want to consume the bread of life. I don't want to just smell the bread of life. Lord, I want it in me in every aspect, Lord. In Jesus' name, Father, thank you. Thank you so much for what you're doing here right now, in this moment, in this place, and all of the lives of the people that are around. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on, somebody say amen. 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 Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget, we want to connect with you. You can find us on Facebook and YouTube by searching Promised Land San Marcos, on Instagram at PSM Church, or on our website, psmchurch.com. Thanks again for listening to the Promised Land at Home podcast.